The LMC casts a wide net over the Sound Shore to bring you local event info, profiles, and conversations. Recorded in the heart of the village in Mamaroneck Cinemas at the studio on the Avenue, LMC Media brings you the LMC Cast Community Profiles.
Hi, my name is Mike Reynolds. I'm a longtime Mamaroneck resident and sometimes moviegoer. On this edition of LMC Cast Community Profile, I'm joined by the man who helped bring theatricals back to Mamaroneck. Noah Elgart is the general manager of Mamaroneck Cinemas right here on Mamaroneck Avenue and adjoining LMC Studio. How's it going, Noah?
Pretty good. Happy to be here. Thank you.
All right. Please indulge a bit of history lesson here, if you would. The forebear of Mamaroneck Cinemas, Mamaroneck Playhouse Theater, opened in December 2025. Silent movies and vaudeville were arranged then. As you can imagine, over the years, things have changed a little bit, or maybe not so much. It remained a single screen theater until, I think, in 1980, when United Artists changed it over. And then, as we got to 2013, the Bowtie Cinemas bought the theater from Clearview Cinemas, and then it was closed in April of 2014. Subsequently, there were a number of attempts to reimagine the space, but none came to fruition. Enter Harvey Elgart, Noah's father, and whose family runs neighborhood movie houses in Brooklyn and Queens. Noah, can you talk a little bit about the family business and why you guys elected to come to Mamaroneck?
For sure. I'll speak a little bit about the building and the theater history. I think a lot of people remember when they walk in, there was that huge stone ramp going down, and a lot of people recollect this woman that was a ticket taker, and she was like super slow, but like they loved her and no nonsense. So a lot of people have these memories, and it's like generational memories, like, hey, my uncle used to work there and stuff. So I get to live that, even though I wasn't here for that. There were multiple renditions of the building, like United Artists and Bowtie that you talked about. And they chopped up this huge, large one-screen auditorium, massive, with balcony. Right. And they made it into four. And, you know, they kind of pieced it together in a way. And everyone had, like, their flair to it, you know. And then we took it over and made it eight screens. We uncovered space, like, behind the stage. And we made those two screens, and we found all this room so we can make eight theaters, play eight different movies, or one movie eight different ways during a day. And that's pretty exciting.
So you guys came in 2020?
Yeah, we came in, I think, 2020. We started the construction. You know, the building was left to stand and kind of fall apart. So leaks from the roof, stuff like that. So we took everything apart. Not everything, because the other theaters were there before us, you know. So we didn't get to take down this huge drapery and things like that they had over the stage originally that you could see in some old pictures. But yeah, we took it apart and re-envisioned it and tried to uncover all the history and like the architectural gems along the way.
And then the pandemic got in the way.
Yeah, pandemic put everything on hold. The effects of that rippled through the whole construction industry, and you know, we were getting steel fabricated. Since we opened up that big theater, we had to suspend the roof, and so the steel got slow, and you know, it was unknown at the time, COVID and its potential danger, so utmost precaution. And then it kind of trickled into the studios and the film releases and stuff like that, so it was not for everybody, that experience. Not
something
I'm sure.
Timing maybe not the best.
No, but you have no control. And right. It was a good lesson in letting go. And it was a tragedy. People want to watch movies during that time. Right. Families want to get together.
Sure.
So lost opportunity.
So you mentioned, again, eight screens. What was your vision coming in? And can you talk a little bit about, for those who haven't been, what they will find inside Mamaroneck Cinemas?
For sure. Like, our vision was to really give our family's theater experience to people in Mamaroneck, surrounding neighborhoods, and let them see, like, you know, we've learned a lot over this time. My dad used to be a projectionist, so like master tinkerer in the machine, because carbon arc and platters and everything going through sprockets, like things failed, and you were able to fix it, and the show must go on was a real thing.
Sure.
So working on the pressure and being inventive and things like that. So he picked that up, and I grew up inside the theater, like Cinema Paradiso style, watching all of this and hearing the film run through the machine is like the soundtrack. So that was ingrained in all of us. With Mamaroneck, we wanted to kind of display that. So we learned a lot. we were able to make these amazing auditoriums, comfortable, great sound, great picture, which is
big
our
seats,
core business,
right?
big seats for sure. Little details like double armrest for each person, no shared, things like that, which might go unnoticed, but helps you kind of let the room slip away and get absorbed completely into the film. Like, the goal is to be so involved in this film that your life slips away.
Right, you're lost for a couple hours, right?
It's great. That's movie magic, and I just want to kind of play a part in that.
So you've got, I think, one major auditorium, then the others are dedicated to different films or maybe different views of the main film, if that's
for
the
sure.
way you wanted to go?
Theater 4 is the Dolby Atmos theater.
Okay.
And you could see that when you spoke about the vaudeville theater, you could see the stage and the balconies and the masonry. You could see all that in that Theater 4. You see up top in the ceiling where they used to walk around, it's like really... it's a gem, and that was covered through those bow tie
right.
UA renditions. So we want to showcase that.
It's 100 years gone by.
Unbelievable.
Right.
And like bricklayers, you know, spent their lives, like their rivets are all hand. Like there's a lot of hard work that went into there. So we uncovered that. We were fortunate to uncover that. And yes, we have other theaters, different sizes. So we cater the theater to the audience size. So like we're able to say, this movie's not so popular, but it's a great movie. It could play 40 seats all day. Let's do that. So we do that.
So all in, Mamaroneck Cinemas can accommodate how many guests?
Over 500 guests at the same time.
Okay. You guys opened up on June 7th, I believe, 2022. What were some of the films when you, you know, took down the curtain, so to speak, or raised the curtain, so
for
to speak?
Sure. The most popular movie that summer, Top Gun. So we opened with Top Gun. We played that all the way past September.
Nice.
That was a great movie.
Absolutely.
I mean, a great patriotic film. The planes are flying through the air. Also nostalgia, right?
Sure.
We did that, Jurassic Park. We had two animated features, Lightyear, which was highly controversial, Disney movie that didn't really hit its mark. And Bad Guys was also an animated feature we played then. And... it's a long time ago already.
Exactly.
You know, 2 years out. It's exactly. pretty cool.
We talked about the pandemic a little bit. And again, there was, you know, the studios had content. They needed to release it. So it went out into the streaming world, maybe the pay TV universe. Now that window from theatrical to pay TV to streaming has been reduced. There's a writers and actors strike that, you know, impacted production the past year. How's the business today? How's Mamaroneck Cinemas doing?
Those were all challenges. And the challenges affect people. People want to come watch movies. So these industry trends, you know, from Hollywood are getting... The root is this incredible art form that people enjoy together in the same room, experience it differently, but watch the same
right.
thing.
It's a communal thing, right?
Oh, it's great. And also, like, you and I watch the same movie, but, like, different scenes hit, you know, differently with us.
Sure.
So we get to talk about that after, and we get to build community, you know. And so them, you know, arguing and negotiating and going to streaming kind of limited that. But with the streaming, they still came out with film. And I just love film, so I'm not going to say that was a bad idea because people were watching and experiencing. But they weren't doing it distraction-free, like ideally distraction-free. There's someone on their cell phone, you know, something like this happening.
Okay.
It's tragedy, but it is. And so the streaming is cool. The industry categorizes that as someone that's staying home. That's not like somebody having a night out.
Right.
So it is a different guest that might be. But sometimes I miss the movie in the theater. I watch it at home. You know, and I still enjoy it.
Okay. This year so far, we've seen Dune Part 2. I guess there was another Godzilla, King Kong.
That's
think
right.
It's New Empire.
Still playing.
Those guys, have those films performed well for you?
Godzilla did great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dune 2 did very good. It's, you know, since you spoke that we have theaters in different locations, different theaters do really well.
Okay.
Just a recent example, Champions. We played here in Mamaroneck. It's doing okay. We did in Williamsburg, incredible.
Okay.
So Williamsburg has a younger demographic. They're all within walking distance.
Right.
They'll watch a late movie. here is like more suburban, sprawled out, so they don't have that last minute access. And it seems like different films, that we have such different communities within Mamaroneck. So like we're playing Cabrini, Italian neighborhood, they all showed up. Coupe de Chance, French film, they all showed up. You know, kids movies,
right?
You can't believe how many families are here in this neighborhood. And the kids get to know each other. It's awesome.
So I was going to ask, but you've already answered the question a bit. So it's not just young kids or young adults. It's a variety of people that are visiting the cinema.
For sure. And we're doing really well with art and exhibition on screen, these NT Live like features. And that plays to an older audience, and they're all very supportive of the cinema and cinema going, which is like, I think, incredible for them, because they're social and they make it a weekly routine. And that's like, to me, the beauty. That's what I got to see as a kid growing up, like people coming every week. And that's the magic on the other side of the counter, is you get to see these people and you get to know the best of them. You know, not like they're, which could be mundane 9-to-5s. You get to know like their film choice and,
right,
you know, like
might what be a little like more interesting.
Oh, with that, you get to the true self.
Right. So are most of the people that are coming, are they from Mamaroneck, or are they, again, folks coming to make this their neighborhood theater, as opposed to maybe going to, to the cinema in Newro or the AMC theaters up in Port Chester?
We are having a lot of regular local guests, but people from far away are coming to this theater. It's a draw. You know, the avenue is very special. You can have a coffee across, you can have the best coffee across the street,
yep,
with cinnamon and sugar in your cappuccino, get a sandwich. You could have all types of different cuisine on this block and watch a movie. So that's a draw. New Rochelle is a megaplex, and the vibe could be a little cold. And here it's very warm and welcoming, and we're not so gigantic where we could lose track of people. We make sure that the experience is like of good quality. So if someone's disruptive or something like this, we're able to manage that easier than they could at like a 20 screen theater, for example.
Keeping on the neighborhood watch a little bit, Larchmont's had a cinema. It's been closed for many moons. Any updates as to what might be happening down there?
No, okay. I have no update. It's kind of like interesting to see that there was all these theaters and there's no, a theater with no light getting thrown on the screen is a sad place. Okay. During COVID, I experienced that through all the auditoriums. You go into a theater where there's no booming from the bass, right, or
sure,
you know, no popcorn being popped. It's like you just see what could have been. So I wish that their light goes on.
Okay. Is your family, are you looking at any other locations, or are you rooted in Mamaroneck now for a while?
Rooted in Mamaroneck. I would never cancel out a possibility, you know, like that. Like to have the opportunity to show more film in different locations.
Right.
It's like, that sounds fun. So okay. I would never say no. And
okay.
I would always like to, you know, show more movies, get to know different neighborhoods. And, you know, it's, you get to also make jobs and you get to increased trade and things like that. It's good for commerce. It's good for a lot of different reasons.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the 2024 summer schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, you had Barbie and Oppenheimer. Those are big. I'm thinking this summer begins with a Barbie connection of sorts. Ryan Gosling, who played Ken to Margot Robbie's Barbie, he's starring in Fallout, which I guess is a loose remake of what was an ABC show back in the 70s or 80s, I believe, with Lee Majors starring as a stuntman. How's that been doing so far?
Did pretty well last weekend.
Yeah.
It's also a PG-13 film, which we do well with. And I think that was the challenge with Challengers, that it was a rated R feature.
Okay.
So it aged out some people. This summer, like I just read something that they're saying that their earnings will be less. They're expecting less because the studios are coming out with less frequent films. But
right,
like we have a movie like Inside Out coming out,
yep,
which when it was originally, this is a sequel. The first one played the whole entire summer. It came out in June,
okay,
which was really an incredible feat. So we have a lot of kids' films. The movie If, Invisible Friends coming out,
right.
Garfield, Bad Boys for Life, like always, you know.
Yep.
I consider myself one.
That's the fourth ride for Will and Martin, as it were.
I don't know. They ride together, die together. It's a Bad Boys for Life, always. Okay. That's coming out, I think, June 6th.
Okay.
I'll watch that. And
so this weekend you got the latest in the Planet of the Apes, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Have you had a chance to look at it yet?
Yeah, I've jumped around within the film to test quality and stuff like that, and it's of high quality. But I didn't get to watch it from beginning to end yet. But I will, because I actually surprisingly enjoyed the past Planet of the Apes, which I thought I might not because it's like a CGI heavy one. But
right.
The story was great. And I think the last one I really connected with, Mark Wahlberg was in it.
Right, sure.
And it worked well.
There was the 1968 version with Charlton Heston is in the cable rotation these days. So if anybody who's missed it, check it out.
We have a Go Ape poster. In the lobby, an original one.
Oh,
on
really?
The back side of the concession stand.
Okay.
So if you're nearby, check it out.
Cool. All right. You mentioned a couple of films already. There's a Mad Max Furiosa, if I'm saying that right. There's a prequel to A Quiet Place. Expectations for those coming up?
Mad Max was that Fury Road that came out. This is, I think, a prequel to it.
Right.
That Fury Road was like cardio. Your heart like going the whole time. I felt like I worked out. So I have high expectations for that. But I don't believe Mamaroneck is the target audience for it.
Okay.
Just based off my past experiences.
Right.
Not saying that people won't enjoy it, because people will definitely be in their chair holding on, sweating, like really loving it.
Right.
But it might be too action heavy. I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. And then Quiet Place will probably do really well. That was more of a mainstream style.
Right. And it's a prequel, right?
It's a prequel also.
Okay. We've got more Minions coming.
Yeah. Who's not excited for Despicable Me and the Minions? Gru and all them.
Sure.
That did really well here, too, because we played Despicable Me 3. Okay. So looking forward to it.
We've jumped through a lot of titles. You've mentioned some. I've mentioned some. Something that is coming maybe a little bit later in the summer that's got your eye?
Something that's coming.
There's a Twister, I think.
Twister coming.
30 years ago, I think it was 1996.
Meg Ryan, right?
Yeah. No. Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt. Apologies.
Yep.
Meg. That was a great movie. I actually like see the cow flying across the road in the Twister in my head right now.
Okay.
So that could resonate heavy. I saw the trailer for that. I would love original film. You know, there's a lot of prequels and sequels that we talked about.
Yep.
So I think that there's room for growth. There's not one feature that's I'm looking forward to May and June right now.
Right, sure.
That's the start of my summer season.
Okay. I wanted to ask, we've referenced vaudeville a couple of times since you've been open here almost 2 years now. Has there been any film that you thought was really going to do well and didn't perform and maybe needed that vaudeville hook to get out of the screening?
I think that's such a cool experience. Like, for the screen to come off the screen and into, like, a real presentation. I can't think off the top of my head. There's a lot of pressure.
Okay. Okay.
But there's definitely one or two. But I think that would be so cool. Like, if you could, you know, grab a different sense from the, you know, give the people to sense and feel something off the screen and on the screen and kind of blend both of those worlds from the,
that'll be interesting,
from the flat to the 3D. Like, I would love that.
Anything, any movies that you said, maybe this ain't going to be big, but turned out to be boffo box office, as they say?
No. Not that I could think of right now, but I while we're talking crazy box office, we have to give it up to Taylor Swift.
I was gonna say,
yeah, she is a real rock star.
And that only played like a few days a week. That wasn't
that's right.
That wasn't
a weekend,
7 days.
A weekend special,
right?
And it was a higher ticket. It was under $20, just under $20. Sorry to all the Swifties. I think it was 19 and change, and I'm not gonna get the number wrong. But she brought out everybody, and they came four times, five times,
really.
And they were dancing and singing. It was really cool. It was cool to see the theater.
Nice.
Not just show. Like, it did so well.
Nice.
Unbelievable.
Now, I'm assuming that the remake of one of my favorites, the Talking Heads film.
Yeah.
That didn't play as well, I'm assuming. And what about more recently, Bob Marley, One Love, a biopic? So I guess music films doing okay from American cinemas?
Yeah, we did great with Elvis.
Oh, really?
We crushed it with Elvis.
Okay.
Which was a great feature.
It was. It's a good movie.
And Tom Hanks did extremely well in it also. Right. Yes, you know, like for being a co-star, you know, he played the character so well. Yeah, people, like, they love music. We have Talking Heads playing in the bathroom here on the soundtrack because, like, they were incredible. They transformed and they shaped a lot of people's lives. So it didn't do that well. But it was also early in our opening.
Right.
And the word of mouth took longer than it would in a city setting. So now we see the fruit of the labor and the audience is growing. So I believe films that we thought maybe won't do too well will start doing well. You know, like there's going to be a constant education happening here.
One more on the movie front. I think next April there's a biopic about the late king of pop, Michael Jackson, and his family. Is that something you think people are going to come out for?
For sure. I mean, separate the art from the artist, and you have to really appreciate everything that he accomplished in his life. Oh, and also we have Amy Winehouse coming
That's
out.
Right. That's like next weekend.
That's right. Back to Black.
Yep.
And she was great. She was a great singer.
And like so many other rock stars, died at age 27.
Yep.
So
she entered the club.
The mystery of that. That's a film we should collaborate on.
Whew. Anyway. I'm happy to. Yeah. From my age perspective, it's good. At 26, I'd be a little sweaty about it. But I think although she passed away, I could play her song and she's still living. So if you do great in your life, you could maybe be immortal.
Right. We're getting to the end here. And I wanted to ask you just about, in addition to your, you know, theatrical and, you know, late afternoon and nighttime showings, the Mamaroneck Cinemas has a lot of matinee action.
Yeah. And also we just did a $5 Wednesday, which is a little bit old to how it used to be here. I think it was on Tuesdays.
Okay.
And we give the neighborhood, you know, to come enjoy something for 2 hours for $5 is like impossible, because even a bagel with cream cheese costs more and it takes a lot less than 2 hours to eat that. So it's a good way to say thank you to everybody, and you could bring your whole family and spend $20. It's like a dream.
You're also looking to bring schools in and birthday parties and the like.
We do a lot of schools. The French Academy here, they are like frequent guests of ours.
Okay.
We give them a nice deal. We do a ton of birthday groups in the morning at 10 a.m. We do private shows during the day. We've done financial conferences, done product releases, because like this space, it can adapt to different scenarios, and the theater can adapt. I mean, we have the best picture and sound, so we could play anything and we could make it interactive. People sit comfortably. You know, we have nice concession options, so we could cater to them as well.
So if Mike Reynolds and friends wanted to come in and watch The Godfather or Almost Famous or Star Wars, or if I wanted to have a holiday party, you know, could I have A Christmas Carol or one of the millions versions or Elf or a Santa Claus? Could I do that?
This is an offer I can't refuse.
Okay. But again, so would you guys get the film for me, or how would I do that? How would I show The Godfather in your movie theater?
You would supply the film and we would take care of the rest. And we would do that in advance, and we'd make sure that we quality control it for you and make it kind of a carefree experience.
All right. You mentioned concessions briefly. I know I want to know this, and I think a lot of other people do as well. So I'm assuming popcorn is the top player at your concession
stand. Sure. Popcorn is the best.
And my wife says that you make it with coconut oil.
Yeah, we have an oil blend with corn and coconut. She's got her ear to the street. So it's just seed, corn, coconut oil, and salt. Very simple ingredients, and it creates a really delicious pop.
And again, are people favoring it on its own that way, or do they want more butter?
It's hard to tell, but there are like, once someone's hitting the butter machine hard, it stands out, you know, so it becomes a noticeable experience. I have my own preference. I go straight up.
Okay.
Sometimes I mix it with plain M&Ms. It's delicious. So I have like a sweet and salty.
Okay.
But, you know, I have popcorn every day. Test it just to make sure it's good.
Yeah, you have to, right? Yeah, that's part
if
of your
a
job,
chef
right?
That doesn't try. Yeah, it's that's the best part of the job. And if a chef doesn't taste their food, then and they're sending it out, you know, you got to make sure that you care in everything you do.
Okay. On the sweet beat. What's number one? What's the top candy?
Bunch of Crunch and Sour Patch Kids are the heavy hitters at Mamaroneck Cinema.
Okay. So If you come out to Marinette Cinemas, you can enjoy those and other treats. And I just wanted to thank Noah Elgard for the man who's brought movie magic back to Mamaroneck for spending time with us today.
Thank you. This has been a pleasure and honor. Thanks for speaking highly of me like that. Thank you.
All right. We're at the end here, and I just wanted to say LMC Media is a nonprofit media center located in Mamaroneck. As noted, LMC Media's The Studio on the Avenue, where this podcast was recorded, is located in the heart of America, the heart of Mamaroneck, adjoining Mamaroneck Cinemas. Please visit lmcmedia.org/services/podcast to book your time in this state-of-the-art convenient location, which is walkable from the Metro North train station. And you can also support this nonprofit media center at lmcmedia.org/donate. Perhaps I'll see you at the movies, or at least until next time. This is Mike Reynolds for LMC Cast Community Profile.